This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening. So tonight we have a bumper-packed evening. The halacha shir is entitled Dating and Engaged Couples Sending Mishlach Monos to Each Other. This I came across from a shir that I heard from Arya Leibowitz, who's a prolific Marbitz Torah in America. I don't know if you've heard of him. And he has thousands, literally, of shiurim. And I stumbled across this one. I thought it would be a very interesting topic to talk about. It's not so well known. You know, what's the problem? A couple who are engaged, they want to send shlachmonos to each other. What exactly is the problem? So if you take a look, we'll try and whip through the sheet quickly. I know there's a lot of stuff on this, but we'll try and do it as quick as we can, given that the full program this evening. If you're listening online, please email me at j.golker@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. The Shulchan Aruch says, the Mechaba says in Tofresh Sadi Hei, which is the very end of Arachayim in Hilchus Purim, Chayev lishlech lechaveir shtei monos. A person is obligated to send shlachmonos, but two portions, baso, ayushal mine oichlim, or other types of food. And by the way, it's a myth, it's got to be different brachas. That is not true. It can be a piece of meat and a piece of fish, you know, whatever it is. Or mishlach, because how do I know that shnema mishlach monos ish l'riyehu? Shtei monos l'ish echot. Yeah, this is in the plural. Mishlach monos and then ish l'riyehu. So two pieces of food, two items of food to one person. That is the basic obligation. V'chol hamar b'lishlach l'reim meshubach, and the more the merrier. Of course, the poskim say that it's preferable to be marbe on matonis levyonim more than shlachmonos. But certainly, if you're marbe on all of it, then that's great. If he hasn't got, then you switch, right? So the yeshiva bachrim, who for some reason they can't or they don't, or then you know they get a plate of food for supper, they can exchange with each other or things like that. They're machlif. Now, the Ramah then adds, "V'yesh lishleach monos b'yom v'le'belayla." You send it at day and not at night, and I'll tell you why that's often relevant. People sometimes slip up on this, but I remember one year, you know, you try and beat the Purim rush, and they can do a 3 o'clock ground, they can do in 20 minutes, you know, 10 shlachmonos, 15 shlachmonos, or it will take 3 hours in the day. So you wake up in the morning and you get a little breakfast delivery shlachmonos, which is very cute. And it's very nice, but you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah because you've got to do it at daytime. Presumably the people who sent would keep at least one for the day. They send one halacha, but you can't send in the night. You've got to start from the day, which is Aleis HaShachar. Okay, so v'yeshlech mishlach monos b'yom v'lo b'layla. Now, v'isha chayeves matonis levyonim, or mishlach monos. A woman is obligated, like a man, in these mitzvahs, the mitzvahs of matonis levyonim and shlach monos, k'ish, just like a man. Here comes the point. V'isha tashalach le'ish, v'ish le'ish. But a woman should send to a woman, and a man should send to a man. Avlo behepach. Why? Now listen to this reason. That a man shouldn't send to a widow or really to any unmarried single lady, because it might be treated as kesef kiddushin. We're not worried about that. Now, let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah just for a bit more detail. A woman is obligated in the mitzvahs of Purim like a man because they were also involved in the miracles of the day. And she has got to rejoice and to help to gladden the hearts of others. And women were also included in that. I haven't seen that a woman sends her own one, the husband sends, and then the wife sends separately. I haven't seen that, says the Mogen Avraham. However, Mikol Mokum says, Mishvur Yesh Lahachmin. I've got a note at the bottom from the Halicha Shlema, from Shlema Zalman Arbach. He says, Kiven Sho Isha Chayevis Kamitzis Hapurim Ke'ish, Tov Shema Habal Ishta, a man should say to his wife, Vachain Labito, to a daughter, Shegir Lechinuch, who's of Chinuch age, V'smucha al shulchano, who's reliant on the father for her sustenance. Shehu neisin gam avura matonis le'avyonim u'mishlach monos, so she itinim reshus losis ba'atzmon. So either they just make it very clear that the husband is sort of acting on behalf of the wife and of adults or chinuch aged girls, and that's generally what happens. And you send a little bit more than just two basic items, and generally that's what we do. We send larger shlach monos, and and therefore the wives and the daughters would be included in that. Of course, if they want to send their own ones, then they are able to do so. That's not a problem. Now, Safek Kiddushin, says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Chafvav, in the second box, fourth line, Sheyomru Shezehu Savleinus She'acha HaKiddushin. Because, what's Pshat Safek Kiddushin? Because people will say, Shezehu Sivleinus She'acha HaKiddushin. Sivleinus are gifts that a kind, an engaged couple, they give to each other after the Kiddushin. Now remember, in those days, you had two stages to a wedding. You had the Kiddushin, and then you had the Nisuin. It's a bit similar to our engagement and our marriages. You have the engagement, and then 3, 4, 5, 6 months, whenever it is later, you actually have the chasna. And of course, nowadays, the engagement is not halachically significant. She doesn't become a married woman at that point. It's a commitment to get married, and you know, maybe they're tanoim, maybe they're not tanoim, but assuming they're no tanoim, then it's not really of any significance halachically. If you break an engagement, okay, there's you need that's something to deal with, but she hasn't changed her status as a married woman, and therefore, in days of old, the kiddushin was a proper kiddushin. The first half of what we do under the chuppah today, where you say the brachos, then he gives her the ring and says the words of Harit Mekudeshesli, that she is Mekudeshes now and she's considered an Eishes Ish, and all the halachas that go with that, and if they decide to put out at that point, she'll need a get. Then we do the Nisuin. So we try and break up the ceremony under the chuppah by baking, reading the ksuba or the Rav speaks or whatever it may be. But that's the kiddushin and the Nisuin. So in the days of old, they would get married, they would have the kiddushin first, then she would go back to her home and prepare for the wedding in the same way that we prepare nowadays between the engagement and the marriage. And he would send gifts, sivlonus. So therefore, people would look at these sivlonus. Sheyomru shezeh sivlonus, says Mishnah Berurah, she'acha kiddushin. These are the gifts, the wedding gifts that are given after kiddushin. V'chashinu shem kid shekfar b'fnei edim ve'emun l'fonenu. And therefore, we can assume that they had previously got married, and it's just that the witnesses are not here. Okay. Now, what about matonis levyonim? So the Ramah says, av matonis levyonim ein lochosh. Says the Mishnah Berurah, ein lochosh, dezeh havi b'mois. Because matonis levyonim are with money, the lekel meches sivlonus, and when you give gifts, you give jewelry, you give flowers, but you don't give money. So therefore, we're not really worried about it. Vafidim loisin leevyon machol, and even if you give food, maybe you can buy, the husband can buy his the chosan can buy the kala, I don't know, some food or nice, some fruit or some cake or whatever. Who derech stock? But when you're giving to the evyon, we're not worried about it because that's derech stock. For in the derech sivlonus, it's not really in the form of a gift. So when it comes to matonis levyonim, we're not worried about it. Now, what exactly is the concern? So the truth is, the poskim say there are three possible concerns of why a man should not send mashlach monos to a woman. One concern is either that the gift itself might be deemed as kesef kiddushin, so he's giving her something of value. That's what marriage is. We are used to seeing a chasna at a chuppah, where the chasan gives the kala a ring. But that's what the Mishnah says. One of them is kesef. He's giving her something of value. That's what affects the kinyan. So if he gives her a shlachmonas, it doesn't actually have to be money. It can be of shavah kesef, something of monetary value, which is what we do. We give a ring. But if he wants to give a basket of wine and of chocolates or whatever, that would count. So one concern is the gift might be deemed as kesef kiddushin. A second separate concern, similar but separate, is the gift might imply that the couple had previously had kiddushin. That's what the Mishnah Berurah is referring to. And the third concern is nothing to do with kiddushin. But generally speaking, we want to minimize the interaction and the closeness between men and women. And that's really what the Aruch HaShulchan says. If you look at paragraph 2-3, the Aruch HaShulchan says, V'isha tishalach le'isha v'ish le'ish, d'leinoe li'es kiruv das bein ish le'isha. Because it's not appropriate there should be that closeness that a man should send his gift to a woman. And there's a separate concern when she's an unmarried lady that there might be a concern of kiddushin, but primarily says the Aruch HaShulchan, the concern is kiruv das. We're trying to avoid that closeness, that interaction. Now, according to this, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, that the third reason is the closeness, and we're trying to minimize that interaction. Then sending to a married woman is actually more of a problem, because the chosen sending to a kallah is actually a nice thing to do. We may encourage the chosen to send some flowers before Shabbos to his kallah to create that closeness. We actually encourage that. But to send, sending therefore to a married woman is going to be more problematic because, of course, you don't want to encourage that closeness. So that would be an interesting enough gemina. Now, if you turn over the sheet, there is a famous machlokes. Whenever you go to a shir on Purim about Shlachmonos, there's a famous machlokes between the Trumas Hadeshin and the Monos Halevi. And there are, people can give a shir on this and they can quote this machlokes and come up with, you know, literally 10, 15 nafkaminas between the two. What is the machlokes? The question is, what exactly is the purpose of Shlachmonos? So the Trumas Hadeshin says, it's to provide food for the Suda. So you're actually giving gifts of food, and therefore it's to be used in the Suda. The Monos Halevi says, in a separate place, he says, it's to create a sense of connection of Ava, of Reyes, and Klal Yisrael. So there are lots and lots of nafkaminas. Says the Shailas and Shuvas, Mishnah Halachas, you can add this to the list. How so? D'yeshleimah, the Tolle Gamkein, if you look at the top box in the next page, paragraph 3, Tolle Gamkein, betam mishleach monos, the latam ha-trumas ha-deshen, according to the reason of the trumas ha-deshen, i.e. to provide food for the Suda, k'deshi elebale simchas harvocha, since women are also obligated in the Suda, according to the Trumas Hadeshen, where the reason for Shlachmonos is to provide food for the Suda, so then, great, the woman is also obligated in the Suda. She also needs to have food for her Suda. So therefore, it would be appropriate to send to a woman. But according to the Monos Levis, to create a sense of Ahava and Reyes between people in Klal Yisrael, then he says in the last line, then it's appropriate the man sends to a man, a woman sends to a woman, because we're not trying to create a closeness between a man and another woman. So therefore, this would be another nafkamina, and he says, maybe yes, maybe no. Now, why doesn't this concern apply to matonis levyanim? Why does the Ramah say that a man can give shlachmonos to a woman? No problem. Not shlachmonos, sorry. That a man can give matonis levyanim to a woman. Why is that not a concern? So there are four answers that emerges from all of this. The Mogen Avraham, cited by the Mishnah Berurah above, is that no one's going to think it's sivlonus. Well, in other words, like I said before, for sivlonus, you give a bunch of roses, you give jewelry, you give something like that, but you don't give money. So therefore, that's not really a concern. The Shus Yaakov says, interestingly, we've got a concept generally of shalotinel deles bifnei loivin, which means we try to encourage people to give tzedakah. We want the poor to receive, and therefore we're not concerned about this very unlikely chashash. So we're not really worried about it. Shalotinel deles bifnei loivin. The Aruch HaShulchan says, yeah, I didn't read that bit, but the Aruch HaShulchan says, av matonis levyonim ein lochash kimen shezel derech tzedakah ein bezeh kiruv das. Because when you're giving this, you know, it's not kiruv das. If you're giving shlachmonos, that is to create a sense of achdus and closeness. But when you're giving matonos levyonim, it's not really kiruv hadas. You're giving nebuch, they need money. And the fourth reason why that this concern doesn't really apply to matonos levyonim is an interesting Birki Yosef. The Birki Yosef says that there is a halach of kol ha-poshet yad noisnim lo on Purim. That whoever stretches out their hand, any oni who stretches out his hands, noisnim lo. Of course, they say al pidrush that it means tefillah as well. That your poshet yad, your daven on Purim, that noisnim lo, you get response to your tefillahs. It's a day of tefillah. But either way, of course, the main reason is kol ha-poshet yad is referring to an oni and noisnim lo, and therefore that applies to everybody. So when it's not bespoke to this particular woman, mashenkin shlachmonos is specific. I'm giving to you and not to you. So therefore, it's very singled out. So therefore, the concern of kiruv hadas is specific to shlachmonos because I'm going to give to you. And Mashenke, Matonis Levyonim, you're going to give to everybody because Kalaposhet Yad Nasinle, anyone who stretches out their hand, you give. So for those four reasons, this concern is not really applicable, and therefore there's no problem for a man to give a woman Matonis Levyonim. Now what about the other way around? What about a woman sending to a man? Because what should the concern be? So the Shvus Yaakov gives three reasons. He says, number one, this is proof, really, that the primary concern is what the Aruch HaShulchan says, i.e. Kirv Das. And it's not appropriate to create that connection between that woman and that man who's not her, who's not his wife. So therefore, that would apply also if a woman is selling to a man. In other words, no, Shlachmonos. So Shlachmonos, for a woman to give Shlachmonos to a man, says the Shus Yaakov, there are three concerns. Number one is that the main concern is Kirv Das. Of course, if a woman gives it to a man, that's not Kesef Kiddushin, because the man has got to give the ring to the woman, the Kesef Kiddushin to the woman. Now, the second reason that the Shus Yaakov gives is that the minhag is often to exchange Shlachmonos. That's what we do. Yeah, I remember as a kid that when we were home, my mother, you know, had made lots of Shlachmonos on the Arte. It was busy in the cars, you know, it was like on Purim. And we get a knock on the door, we open the door, someone comes in, you know, a kid has been sent out from their car to deliver the Shlachmonos. I take it from them, bring it in, mummy, it was family, whatever. And she goes, oh boy, I haven't prepared for them. And then she, you know, she quickly looks around the table and she takes one and puts a sticker on. And because I run back and give it to them, and it turns out giving back the same one they'd given us. Right? So you've got to be a bit careful. But the minhag is to exchange. You get, you give. That's how it goes. So therefore, the concern is that if a woman sends Shlachmonos to a man, he will then reciprocate and give to her, and that's our concern. So that's the second reason he gives. Now, the third reason is a very interesting one. It's a sugi in Kiddushin, which I just did in school. We're learning Kiddushin in school at the moment. And that is Odom Choshev, which is a very unusual case where a woman can give a present to a man. And this man is a big Rosh Hashiva, right? Everyone saw clips this week of Tzvi Kushelevsky, the Briz, one of them. Just remarkable, just remarkable. So, you know, we were in Poland. We were asking, we were talking about Poland before. So it was on Sunday, the Bris. So on Sunday was our last day in Poland. So we were in Krakow for Shabbos, and we drove to Auschwitz, and that was the last day we went to Auschwitz. Me and one or two other rebels are watching this Bris on our phones as we're pulling into Auschwitz. And we're rooted to the phone. We're just watching this thing. And we follow them, you know, a few minutes later, because we just want to finish off watching the actual end of Bris. On the Monday, we go back to school and we have a debrief. We have a whole session in school, a post-Poland debrief, we call it. So we sit around, there are a lot of kids, and we go around and everyone says the highlight of their trip. And one kid said the highlight of their trip was watching the Bris with Rabbi X, Y, and Z in the coach just before about. That was his highlight of his Poland trip. So anyway, so imagine you give someone like that, you give an Odom Choshev a gift, who gets more hana? So if a woman gives a gift, an Odom Choshev, says the Gemara, if he turns around to her and says, I marry you with the hana that you received, that I'm accepting your gift, that works. So therefore, the concern may be that if a woman gives to an Odom Choshev, it could work. That he's saying, I'm marrying you because you get more hana, that I've received your gift. So there is that as well. Okay, so there's three concerns when it comes to a woman sending to a man. Now, are there any exceptions? The Ramah says that a man should send to a man, a woman should send to a woman. Are there any exceptions? Well, yes. Number one, sending to a whole family is no problem. So you want to give to family Goldberg, that's not a concern that the sender is giving to the family, because it's the whole family. That's not a problem. The second concern is if there's no other Jews in town, if there's just one man and just one woman in town, there's not a concern. Why is that? Because there's no concern of Kiddushin, yeah, because there's no Edim. Because if there's only him and her in the whole town, there's no likelihood of Kiddushin, because where are your Edim? And also the Ramah says wouldn't say to discard the minhag for this concern. Okay, and also if you don't give it in front of Edim, it's not really a problem. It's only a problem if there's a chashash of Kiddushin for that reason. Now, la halacha, even though this is not really a major concern, the Ramah does say it, and therefore, of course, we're going to, you know, Klal Yisrael Yotzim Biyad Ramah, we say. That when Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, they came out Biyad Ramah, with an outstretched hand. But the Chasam Sofer, the Rav Yosef, often say that the Ashkenazim, they follow the Ramah all the way. And therefore, Klal Yisrael Yotzim Biyad Ramah. We always listen to what the Ramah says, and therefore, of course, we want to comply with the ruling of the Ramah. The Shmuel Kamenetsky says that the main concern is really like the Aruch HaShulchan says, and therefore that is that of Kirv Das, and it's not really a concern of Kiddushin, and therefore the best thing is just don't give in front of Edim, but it's best to comply, of course, with the Ramah. So therefore the minhag is that indeed a man gives to a man, a woman gives to a woman, but if you give to a whole family, you give to a couple or whatever, then that's not really a concern at all. Okay, let's say that.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.